Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, game and object design, visual arts, and communications. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
We're joined today by one of the pioneering writers in the field of interactive media and digital storytelling since the early 1990s, Carolyn Handler Miller. She is currently revising the fourth edition of her classic, Digital Storytelling, A Creator's Guide to Interactive Entertainment, from Focal Press. Her work as a digital storyteller includes entertainment, educational, informational, and training projects made for platforms such as CD-ROMs, kiosks, the web, smart toys, and integrated media projects. Her clients include major media companies, Fortune 500 corporations, and educational institutions. In addition, Carolyn is an international speaker and teacher on the subject of digital storytelling. Carolyn, let's talk about digital storytelling, not just how it's changed and evolved since you wrote the first edition of your book, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about what digital storytelling is for those members of the listening audience that may not be familiar.
Okay. Well, digital storytelling, basically, it's a very simple concept. It's just telling stories using digital media, different platforms like mobile devices and VR, virtual reality, augmented reality, the web, and so on. And there have been so many advances since I wrote the first edition. I feel I picked up the first edition a few days ago, and it looked pathetically thin to me. And we've come so far.
And when you say we've come far, what does that mean exactly? If you were going to describe digital storytelling from 15 years ago versus today, what would that look like?
It's mostly the platforms we're using, I'd say. The basics of using the different media to tell stories, the techniques of telling stories, has not changed very much. One of the latest innovations was an interactive TV show on Netflix, and they're using the same branching structure that they used for the very earliest works of digital storytelling. So some people are pushing the envelope more than others, but I'd say that the techniques of telling stories have not changed, and they haven't changed that much since Aristotle. You know, we still have the classic hero's journey and character development and the concept of tragedy and comedy and the oneness of place and time that Aristotle talked about. So when I look at digital storytelling, I do go back to Aristotle and think about what he would have said. And the best stories usually follow his guidelines.
What guidelines would those be?
Those would be to keep your subject focused on one topic and one time period, and not put in material or dialogue that isn't necessary. It was very clear-cut, very crisp kind of storytelling. And he was basing this on the tragedies primarily that were written in Greece when he was there.
So I'm curious then, if you're talking about a focused topic, staying on subject, developing a character, how does that fit in with what seems to be so easy to do in the digital realm, which is where things can branch infinitely? You could introduce new characters, you could have users on the platform contributing ideas that somehow get incorporated into the story. I'm wondering how those two, they seem to almost be opposites. So how do they?
Yes, the contributing factor and interactivity does change a story, but still you want your story to have a focus. Coming from gaming, and I worked on games, you usually want to insert a goal that your character or characters are trying to achieve, and that keeps you on a clear-cut path. And you can go on branches, but you still want to come out at a particular place. But, you know, I say that, and I'm just thinking about this new interactive TV show that I've been watching, Black Mirror,
Bandersnatch?
Bandersnatch, yeah.
Bandersnatch.
It's a hard word to say. And it has five possible endings. So you don't really know. Although the character does have a goal, and it's about a character trying to make a video game. And Ellen, it sounds like you've watched some of it.
I wanted to watch some of it, but my kids said that they were already too far down one path and they couldn't turn it back to the beginning to reset the story for me. So
bad. It's really a fascinating piece, but it does have five different endings. And when you're playing it, it does throw you back on an earlier path very often. So it's not as straightforward, but the goal of the character, Stefan, is to produce a video game. So it's sort of a story within a story and what his video game is. But, you know, that's his desire. But in the course of it, he goes kind of crazy and it's not a happy story.
When you originally wrote digital storytelling, there were some examples of interactive television at the time. Some of the new platforms or new technologies that have come out since you first started tackling this subject in print, I guess one would be the surprising rise of YouTube, or maybe not surprising, the rise of YouTube. And another one would be augmented reality and virtual reality, and how I think you touched on them a little bit and you touched on the promise, but none of those technologies were really fully developed or robust enough for general consumption, which they are now. So.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest changes, what's happened with AR and VR. I was tracking it very early on. There was an institute in L.A. that was run by the Army, of all places, and Paramount Studios and USC developed works for training soldiers using VR and AR. And I saw some amazing things back then. But no one could foresee that these ways of telling stories or immersing the viewer or the participant would ever become practical for the common, so-called common people. But now they are, and you can go to many places and experience VR for yourself, and you can buy cheap Google Cardboard glasses and watch VR, which is amazing. I brought them into the classroom, and my students are just flabbergasted at what they see. You know, they aren't expecting it. So it's exciting to me to see the development. And interactive TV was a field that was almost forsaken for many years. There were spurts of it really early on, and I was just writing a chapter in my new edition about interactive TV and interactive cinema. And one of the experts I interviewed last time around thought that interactive TV, single screen interactive TV that you just see through your TV, he thought it was pretty dead. And then Netflix came back and is doing a whole lot with it. So it's amazing. You can't say anything's dead except some of the older techniques of interactive media are pretty dead, like telling stories on laser discs, which was one of the things I really was looking forward to when I first started out. And then laser discs pretty much became extinct for that purpose.
It seems we're still talking, though, in a way, when I hear you talk about digital storytelling, we're still talking about, in all these cases, kind of branching storylines. Do you think that there's somewhere to go with these newer platforms that goes beyond that? When I think of branching storylines, I think of, what were those books?
Choose Your Own Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
And those are really great. I mean, it was really fun to not know what was going to happen or to sort of read a curated story and even the author wouldn't know what experience I was going to have, whereas usually a storyteller is trying to very tightly control the experience rather than just curate the experience. But do you think that there's somewhere to go beyond that, especially with the rise of these newer platforms like augmented reality, virtual reality, and large social platforms where people can contribute?
I do think that the branching storyline is not the only way to offer interactivity. I definitely believe in user participation. And with social media, I've seen some amazing works come out where you give the viewer or the participant the basics of a story, but they contribute to it in various ways, very often through tweets or Facebook posts. Sometimes the story is told entirely on social media. I have a colleague in London who's been doing spooky stories for Halloween every year, and these are all done on social media. And the first one was about a guy who goes on a road trip and ends up in this motel, and you don't know what's going to happen to him, and things don't look good, and you try to warn him, you send him emails, and he will write back to you. And it's really cool to have this interchange. And with augmented reality games, or alternate reality games, I should say, then you have people on a physical quest very often, and they're using social media. And the first one I ever tried out, it was another game within a story kind of motif, and you heard that this new video game was going to come out, and you signed up to get it, and just before the day it was going to come out, you got a fax, and those were when people were doing more faxing, you got a fax saying that the studio had burnt down, and the developers had disappeared, and then you start getting messages from the developers who are on the run. And it puts you right inside the story. You get phone calls from them. And in other games, you sometimes get a phone number, and you can call the phone number. And it will, in one game I'm thinking of, it will connect you with the morgue where the dead body is. And you can find out a little bit more what happened to the victim of the homicide. So there are ways to put you inside the story that aren't just branching storylines, which seems pretty outdated, except in Bandersnatch, which I still struggle to say. Black Mirror, I'm going to call it, as part of the Black Mirror segment. They have done some interesting things with the branching storyline. They don't just go on one path after another, but they will come back and force you to take a different path every so often, and you see what would happen if you chose the alternate. And it's pretty fascinating. I got very caught up in it and had to pull away to get back to writing my book, and I would rather have played Bandersnatch more.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, string bassist and loopmeister extraordinaire.